Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. Not with me today is Andy Shea. Andy retired. We had his final show last week. I hope you all were able to tune in for that. Now, going forward, I had said we would find a replacement for Andy. What's fascinating to me is you ever see on TV where they have, a panelist leaves the show. They do like tests for the next year and a half. They bring in about five different people, try to get caveats. We are not like that. We go right to the top. We get the best replacement. We get them in here. We get them in here right away. Welcome our new Friday guy, Chris Buchanani. Chris, welcome to the show.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel, Jim. That's all I can say.
No way. We went right for the best. You were at the top of the list. We said, how in the world could we replace Andy? We said, the best way is you bring Chris in, and we got you. Of course, Chris, a free agent. We had to long-term contract. He and Juan Soto. The long-term contract, it's a lifetime contract. He'll be here forever. We made him a bazillionaire to come on the show.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, I think it's structured kind of like a little bit of a Bobby Bowe deal. Yes?
We pay you $1.25 on July 1st every year for the next 50 years. Well, I'll tell you what. I am sure most of our listeners know who Chris is. But for the handful, the unbelievably few people who may not know who you are, Chris, how about just the elevator pitch, the quick background about who you are and your relationship to Penn State sports?
Yeah, so I am. Thanks. And by the way, Jim, I appreciate the opportunity. Honestly, never take for granted any chance to be lucky enough to talk about Penn State football for a living. It's pretty cool. And just do my best to fill the big shoes left behind by Andy, and I'm looking forward to him popping on from time to time in relief. I'm a Penn State alum, live here in Happy Valley, as I have since I arrived as a freshman in the late 1990s. Grew up a Penn State fan, applied to one school when it was time to go to college. Have been pretty active both in covering the football team and just in the life of the state college community ever since. Probably my number one media hat is as fake host of the obligatory PSU pregame show on the Tengwall Film Network and the obligatory PSU podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. And from there, I've been able to expand out and do some work with Landon Tengwall on his channel and with you, Jim, here on Keystone Sports Network. And you and I are just starting up a new venture. We're going to be contributing to a weekly show, twice weekly show, with Happy Valley United, the Penn State NIL Collective. So just a really cool opportunity. I serve currently as vice president of the Mount Nittany Conservancy, the nonprofit that stewards and owns the land on Mount Nittany to be enjoyed by Penn Staters everywhere and all of the general public. And I also teach a class on Penn State football history for Penn State's branch of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which is going to be starting up in October, and folks can register if they want as members or non-members at OLLI, that's O-L-L-I, .psu.edu.
And I highly recommend Chris's class. Chris is a great Penn State football historian. We've been on shows together. We've talked Penn State history. But let's forget history for a second. Let's talk about current events going forward. I think it's great timing you taking over, Chris. We got an actual football season coming up. But, you know, this darn off season, it just will not let go. And everything going on, eligibility, the portal. The latest is they came up with, I think, the fantastic rule the NCAA did. No more redshirting, 5 years of eligibility, starting at age 19 or earlier if you get into school. So it's 5 years. And the class of 22, the players who played as freshmen, used up their 4 years of eligibility, they were not included in this. It's a rule going forward until judges get in the way and start to say, well, maybe those players should be able to play. Then it's like even players who have entered NFL camps, they don't make it there. We'll let them come back to college. Chris, why does it feel like this is the one where they have finally crossed the line?
Well, I think there has been frustration with a lot of the changes in college sports building over the last few years. You and I have talked when I've been on with you before, Jim, about how much it drives college football fans nuts that they really can't form any kind of connection with their team anymore because of the transiency that's been made possible by the transfer portal. As recently as 2 years ago, you had multiple transfer windows, so you couldn't even go 365 days knowing who was actually going to be on your favorite team. You had to chunk it up into like 4 to 5 month blocks where you would say, okay, the team looks like this now, and that's all off season, right? But I can't get too excited for what I'm going to see in fall camp because there's going to be a spring window, and then maybe all of that changes. There'll be new players coming in. There'll be other guys leaving my team. So it's not until they actually run out of the tunnel on the season opener can I actually look and say, hey, that's my team, and I can enjoy that for about 3.5 months, and then it'll change. That stacks up over time, and it really starts to irritate people. I don't think the majority of college fans, I've always believed this, have any kind of constitutional opposition to these guys getting paid and being able to share a little bit in the wealth, the immense wealth now that is generated by their talent and their efforts through these big media contracts. I think the way that money is getting paid out, the confusing and opaque nature of it, the degree to which we are now seeing the dust settle, and as many people expected, the gap that always existed in college football between the haves and have-nots only widening, and the club of haves shrinking, and the wilderness of the have-nots expanding. I think all of that wears people down. And so finally, there's got to be, as Malcolm Gladwell would say, a tipping point. Well, maybe it is that here we are, less than 14 days out from actual football being played. And what are the headlines? Is it about the top 25? Is it about playoff predictions? Is it about the early games or week zero? No. It's about Lane Kiffin, the number one villain and lightning rod in the sport, who, like a total scumbag, left his squad on the eve of the playoffs to go chase another bag at LSU, trying to roster a tight end who wasn't good enough to make the Cleveland Browns practice squad. And I think that is just the point where all the annoyance and irritation and frustration I just laid out finally spilled over the dam. So I don't know that it's necessarily that this is any more egregious than any other thing we've seen in the last, you know, like Brendan Sorsby and everything, the last 3, 4, 5 years of college football. But at one point or another, there's a final crack in the dam, and maybe that was it. And again, the fact that the Cleveland Browns are involved is just sort of it's the whipped cream, and then Lane Kiffin's involvement is the cherry on top of the sundae.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the news where Texas Tech was looking at now the former Florida State quarterback
and bringing
him in. Yep. And also, what I find really fascinating, well, it's nice to see, first of all, the rest of the story is the conferences now are coming out saying, we are not going to allow this. So I think the Big Ten came out first. The Southeast Conference then, with LSU in it, came out and said, unanimously, we're voting to not allow this to happen.
Which means what, Jim? The chancellor of LSU voted against the interests of his own football program.
Well, did you see they then did... I don't even know the difference between the two votes, but they did another vote where LSU abstained.
Oh, no, I missed that.
And it is like
probably some boosters made some phone calls. Who knows? It just drives me nuts, by the way, if you'll pardon a digression. Rocco Becht last week took some flack in the national press for disclosing that he was doing what any
one class, yeah,
5th-year college football players have done for decades, which is after they earn their degree, especially. But even when they're in the process of working towards their bachelor's degree, what the guys will do is they'll front load their schedule so that there's a heavy credit load in the spring and the summer so that they can take a lighter course load in the fall. Well, Rocco already graduated from Iowa State. He's essentially a graduate student now. And so, again, he's just taking a very light course load. He's one online class. And this got portrayed as like some egregious transgression against, you know, the spirit of amateurism in college athletics. And total canard, fake news, misinformation. This has been going on forever. It's nothing new. Drew Aller did it last year. You didn't hear anybody complaining about that when he was on the #2 preseason team in the country. But Jim, one of the politicians who glommed onto that happened to be a senator from Louisiana. And now look, here we are, less than a week later.
Well, it is. And to me, the differentiator there is he's a graduate student. You know, he's already got his degree. To me, what's more egregious is these kids who come in, especially we saw this in NCAA basketball, where it's the one and done. You have to play 1 year of college basketball before you can go to the NBA. You can't go straight from high school. So they come in, do the bare minimum in the fall to qualify. And even in the spring semester, that they're just registered for enough classes to finish the March Madness. And then they leave school anyway. To me, that's far more egregious. But I did have the question, though, if you're only taking one course, I always thought there was like a minimum number of credits you had to be taking to qualify as a full-time student to play sports.
So my understanding, and don't quote me on this as holy gospel, is that once you have graduated, you no longer have to qualify year-round for full-time status to participate in college sports. I think that's the deal.
Got it. Now, forgetting actual rules, just spirit of it, I am fine if you've got someone who's got a degree, okay? To me, that is the huge differentiator. All right, Chris, that's it for quarter #1. When we come back, kind of a related topic to all this with the portal, let's play some quarterback roulette and see where the wheel stops spinning. We'll do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter #2 on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter #2. I am Jim Galante. With me, new full-timer, Chris Buchanani. Chris, it's fantastic to have you on. Unfortunately, our first segment had to be about the transfer portal, the eligibility, all of that going on. But I guess a little bit related, I'm just totally fascinated by this, and I want to get your take on it. The whole portal situation, which you and I have talked about before, that's where I think fans really get upset. It's like you can't recognize your team anymore. Half the team leaves. New half of the team comes in. Nowhere is this crazier than at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Now, at Penn State, we've been, I'll call it fortunate, over the last several years as all of this was going on. You know, we had Sean Clifford for several years. Then we had Drew Aller for several years. And been pretty much a consistency. Now, if you want a way to kickstart the portal on your team, it's have the coach leave the program. All of a sudden, I hadn't thought about this, but we have three former Penn State quarterbacks out there starting elsewhere.
Yes.
We have Ethan Grunkmeyer at Virginia Tech, Bo Prabula now at Virginia, Jackson Smolik at Temple, who Penn State will see in a few weeks. Now coming into Penn State is Rocco Beck. I guess my first question is, of those teams, Virginia Tech, Virginia, I'll throw Temple in there, and Penn State, who won the game of quarterback roulette?
Ooh. Wow, great question. And I've got to pick a single winner, huh?
That's the way, those are the rules. But however, I will mention to you this, though. On our program, we have rules. We always break the rules. So
yeah, no.
I'm giving you a little leeway. But yeah, the question was, give me one winner.
Yeah, I like being boxed in. That's good. I appreciate it. I can't just... Well, you know, mealy mouth my way through it, because I do think, really, I think three of those four guys are excellent fits in terms of Becht, Prabula, and Grunkmeyer. I think, though, Jim, my initial instinct was to say Penn State, and I'm just asking myself, is this bias? But I don't think so, only because, okay, let me walk you through it. No offense to Jackson Smolik or whatever, but Temple is odd man out in this conversation for a variety of reasons that are probably self-evident to your listening audience. So at Virginia, I like Bo a lot, and I'm going to be rooting like crazy for him this season. You look at the fact that he is coming off an injury, so a little bit of an unknown about how he'll – a season-ending injury as opposed to Rocco, who played through his – a little bit of an unknown how he recovers from that. And then also the fact that it was a little up and down for him at Missouri last season. Grunkmeyer, I think, great get for Virginia Tech. Should stabilize the quarterback position in year one under James Franklin down there. Again, some question about the offensive line and the depth of talent in year one down there for VT. So when I look at stakes for each program and fit with the quarterback, the fact that Rocco comes in with the resume he does as one of the longest tenured starting quarterbacks in college football this year, and the importance with Penn State's schedule of getting off on a good start to the Matt Campbell era, that combination of experience, talent, and most importantly, in my mind, familiarity with head coach, offensive coordinator, and several of the key playmakers who came over on the offensive side of the football. That's the best and probably most important fit of the four transfer QBs you fed me.
I'm in agreement, but I'll add this also. I think when the season ended for Penn State and we knew there would be a mass exodus, and before things were even finalized, we all had this quarterback discussion. And I think many of us were Ethan Grunkmeyer fans and would have really liked to have seen him stick around. But I think we also knew if Matt Campbell could bring in the guy he knows, the experienced guy in Rocco Beck, that's probably what would happen. And Ethan Grunkmeyer would do what is obviously in his best interest, which would be to move on to somewhere where he could get a starting job this season.
Yep. And at the time, keep in mind, at the time, he had no idea that he might have an extra year of eligibility awaiting him. So he had 3 years left in a ticking clock and had shown, I think, unquestionably, that he had the talent to start for a high-level FBS program.
No doubt. No doubt at all. But I think the only argument for Grunkmeyer over Rocco Beck was those multiple years of eligibility. I think what really made me really confident in the Rocco Beck decision was Alex Mansky coming along also.
Agree.
It and gave me Go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, from what we've seen of Alex Mansky in fall camp, that's a reason for Penn State fans to get excited about the future of the quarterback position.
Exactly. So it really felt like Matt Campbell was not only getting his present day quarterback, he was bringing in his quarterback of the future also. Now, we had this mystery illness or medical issue for Alex Mansky in the spring. And just the way they reported it or gave the information, you kind of knew something unusual was up there. But what an absolutely incredible story. Coming back, open heart surgery, and apparently no limits on him in fall practice. He's a go and been impressive. So, yeah, I think Penn State won that lottery. To your point, though, going back to Bo Prabhula, have you followed the story with him in this whole off season? It was really enlightening, Chris, on what these quarterbacks are going through now with the portal.
Tying into our last segment, if you read that story on ESPN about the saga of Bo Prabhula's time in the transfer portal this past offseason, there will be no ambiguity about why fans hate it so much.
Exactly. And I think the surface story was, and I think also Penn State fans like a story where James Franklin is the villain. Apparently, they literally sent a car to York to bring in Bo Prabhula and his support group, including his agent, to drive him down to Blacksburg. In the meantime, while he's there, they find out Bo Prabhula and his team that, Ethan Grunkmeyer is committing to Virginia Tech. So they're blindsided by this. And, it's not like the Virginia Tech staff didn't know what they were doing. They were playing both. And I guess they're doing that partly as insurance policy. If Ethan Grunkmeyer is their number one, but God forbid he ends up somewhere else, you have Bo Prabhula on the hook, right?
Yeah, it stinks. And I agree. It's probably convenient for narrative purposes to have James as the de facto bad guy in that story. But to me, again, Jim, it's just largely indicative of the inevitabilities of a system and the way it's been constructed. Because when you have all these quarterbacks playing all these programs playing quarterback carousel, and maybe 10 days for all of that to be sorted out nationally. If I am dispassionately evaluating this, right, from Virginia Tech's perspective, they're rational actors in the way they approach that, because we just laid out how much we think familiarity is a huge leg up for Penn State bringing in Rocco Becht. I'm sure James Franklin feels the same thing about the quarterbacks he knew and who knew him. And there were two of them available, one of whom had 3 years of eligibility and one had one. And you got to look at that and say, hey, it's kind of scummy, but these are scummy times in which we're living. So we got to play by those rules.
Exactly. And just to give the short version of what Bo Prabhula went through in 1 week's time. So he's on his way to Virginia Tech, gets to Virginia Tech when they find out, not from Virginia Tech, but apparently from other sources, Bo's agent finds out that Ethan Grunkmeyer had committed. So the carousel keeps spinning. Bo went to Nebraska. There was already another quarterback in the building. They were both in the building at the same time. And apparently one saw the other in the hallway kind of deal. The other quarterback gets signed. He then flies to Washington, where the drama there was Damon Williams,
right,
who, even though he signed a contract with Washington, says, I want to move on. Washington still trying to keep Damon Williams in-house, but they bring in Bo Prabhula as a backup. He then flies, Damon Williams ends up staying. So Prabula and his group fly to Georgia Tech. Then they fly to Tennessee. Then finally to Virginia. And at Virginia, essentially they're saying their head was spinning so much. It's like, could you give us a day to think about this? Virginia apparently says, yeah, sure, no problem. But in the meantime, Virginia is sweating as much as Pope Prabula and his group are.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just a marriage of necessity there.
Yeah, it's gross. I do think he lucked into a good landing spot at UVA. But I will tell you, Jim, I thought he was a perfect fit for Georgia Tech and an ideal successor for Haynes King. I think the Yellow Jackets kind of swung and missed on not keeping him down there in Atlanta.
That's a good call, Chris. I think that would have been a system that fit him well. But Virginia coming off a very good season last year, double-digit wins. Mm-hmm. The hope is that, obviously, for them, that they will keep things going. And I don't have the date in front of me, but Virginia does play Virginia Tech this year.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we rooting for in that one, Chris?
Come on.
Go Wahoos. All right. That is it for quarter number two. We still have two more segments to go. Stick around because you're going to want to hear even more from Chris as we talk actual football.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with the newest member of our team. That is Chris Buchanani, quarter number three of our show. And yes, I know, traditionally at this time, this quarter three has been our Ask Andy segment, and I know you guys absolutely love it. My question here is, should we change it up and make it an Ask Chris segment? Who better to ask than Chris himself? What do you think, Chris? We don't have a set for it today, but in the future, do you want an Ask Chris segment?
Yeah, here's what I think, Jim. I'm totally open to that. I think audience interaction is always a fun part of what we do. I want to be respectful of the fact that that was kind of Andy's segment that he owned and he brought a lot to it. That again, I'll just try to do my best to carry forward the tradition. So I'm not going to be James Franklin about this. I'm going to be very Matt Campbell. I'm going to be respectful of the foundation I have inherited and say that if you go that direction, I will do my level best just to carry forward the legacy.
Well, just in full disclosure, Andy wasn't first. It was actually Ross Tucker who started it. We initially had it as an Ask Ross segment.
You're not reducing the pressure at all, Jim, but that's okay. That's okay.
I still say it was a launch.
Come before us.
It was a launching pad for Ross, okay? So who knows? Maybe you, Chris, after this, you'll be calling NFL games somewhere just like Ross.
I certainly hope not.
Going forward, we'll change the app. We'll change it to say Ask Chris. As always, if you want to just email me your questions, just send it to info@ksnsports.net. That's info@ksnsports.net. If you go to the website, any segment you listen to, you see there's a place where you could interact with us and send your note in. But for this, we're going to call this show then, Chris, week zero for you. Okay. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. And that's my way to segue into our segment. We get actual football this weekend.
Yeah. It's called good games. Speaking of Bo Prabula.
Exactly. So why don't we start with Bo? It's NC State playing Virginia, And Bo Prabhula will be your quarterback. Virginia is a 5.5-point favorite in this one. That's a fun game. It's a conference game in week zero, Chris. I love that.
And a game that is going to have long-ranging implications for the rest of the season, because these are two teams, Jim, that are considered kind of upstart or dark horse contenders in the ACC, who believe that if things break their way, they could at least be in the mix with the teams that I think are favored to be at the top of that conference at the end of the season. Miami obviously being tops there, and then probably Louisville and SMU, I am seeing considered to be the other likely contenders to participate in the ACC championship game. So, you hear all this talk about how expansion of the playoffs has increased the number of mulligans in college football, and there aren't as many consequential games as there were back in the BCS era or even prior. That said, I do feel like this is a week zero game, first game out of the gate, where the winner has a big leg up and the loser is already in a ditch trying to dig themselves out. So when I think about, the uneven quality of matchups we have gotten in this preliminary week over the years, this is a really good game to start the college football season out with. Now, I understand it's not the first game, but just the opening Saturday.
It really is an important game to those two programs. As you said, the team that wins has to say, like, hey, maybe we've got a shot here. The team that loses, it's an uphill battle.
NC State thrown out as a potential second playoff team from the ACC, and I'm not buying that at all, but they lose this game, and I can't imagine any scenario where that occurs.
And you got to look at Virginia, who was the best team in the regular season last year in the ACC. They've got to have high hopes. They didn't bring in Bo Prabhula to have a 500 squad, okay? So I'm sure they have high hopes also. I'm going to be watching that game for both reasons. It's a game that matters. And to see Bo Prabhula.
Well, and here's something to watch in that game, especially if, like me, and I think you too, Jim, are a Bo Prabhula guy, just rooting for him to have a great final season of college football. Amateurs borrow, professionals steal. I stole this from John Gruden over at Barstool. But he posted this week a video talking about the Virginia offensive line. I want you to listen to this now. From left to right tackle, their starting offensive line is a fifth-year senior, a sixth-year senior, a seventh-year senior at center, a sixth-year senior at right guard, and a seventh-year senior at right tackle. And their starting tight end, who will be in line protecting the quarterback and paving the way for the run game, he's a fifth-year player as well. So we've seen more and more the last couple of years in college football that grown-ups beat up on young boys, right? And so, if I am looking at what sets Bo Prabhula up for success at UVA, having that kind of a veteran offensive line is an unbelievable luxury.
Well, to your point, yes, the last couple of years we've seen the benefit of experience. You know, they're big boys, they're men now playing those positions, and it's particularly important on the offensive line. I was not aware of that experience. I'm sure Bo likes that. The other game, North Carolina and TCU. Bill Belichick, I'm on record, okay, as saying that was a disaster hire, okay? Yeah. Being the greatest of all time NFL coach does not make you a great college football coach. It does not. They are two completely different jobs. In my head, you're hiring this inexperienced old man, okay? Not a good combination. He got embarrassed in his opener last year. He's a 7.5-point underdog here. I got to watch it. It's the car accident that I can't turn away from, Chris.
Yeah, I've explained to you the concept of the Walmart greeter job before.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it just for any listeners who may not have heard that, Walmart, the Walmart greeters who you used to see at your local Walmart, it was always a retired person who was just there to say hello to the customers as you walked in. They'd work a few hours a day. They were typically just looking for something to do, maybe put a little extra cash in their pocket. Well, I describe coaching jobs where you've had a long, successful career, enough to give you credibility to be hired to a head job of a pro or often a college team. And you take that job and don't really put your full heart and soul into it. You're just there collecting a paycheck, but you're already basically retired even while you're still on the clock. That's a Walmart greeter job. Lovie Smith at Illinois, classic example of a Walmart greeter job. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, Walmart greeter job. This was a Walmart greeter job for Bill Belichick, and it kind of makes me sad. Even though I was not a big Patriots dynasty guy as an NFL fan, just respected what that dude did over the course of his career and what he represented to the game. The fact that he may end his coaching career being fired mid-season by the North Carolina Tar Heels is kind of pathetic.
Well, the thing is, I didn't like him. You said, you know, you weren't a fan. I'll go a step further. I rooted against that New England team. And I think when, you know, Belichick had his attitude that he didn't have to talk to the media, he could blow people off. Why? Greatest of all time coach. That shtick doesn't work so well when you're losing most of your games. And the last point I want to make on Belichick and the Walmart greeter thing, you said earlier, what was it, amateurs borrow, professionals steal?
Yes, sir.
I stole. I borrowed your Walmart greeter story. I've used it multiple times because it's the perfect way to describe people.
Yeah, please. It's public domain. Spread the word.
I used it for Jim Knowles last year.
Penn State was absolutely a Walmart greeter job for Jim Knowles, and it remains to be seen. I don't know. Maybe he's a Costco greeter down in Tennessee now. We'll have to wait and see.
No, I think the Costco greeter has to remember they have to count items and then cross off your receipt. So that's actual work there. So I'm not sure if he qualifies for that. We'll see. But a couple other games just want to mention. San Jose State is playing USC. USC, a 38.5 point favorite. And I'm going to give you your choice of what you want to talk about. Will you watch USC because they're a future Penn State opponent? You also have New Mexico State at Florida State. Florida State, a 30.5 point favorite. It's fascinating to me. If you want to see Florida State, you got to go to the CW to see them, Chris, which just kills me. And then the game I'm fascinated by actually is Memphis and UNLV.
Oh, it's a great
game. That might be an elimination game for a group of six team.
Yeah, excellent point. And you talk about quarterback carousel, Jim. Sign of the times. Starting at quarterback for Memphis is former Penn State commit Marcus Stokes, who, if listeners may not remember, flipped his commitment from Penn State to Florida back in 2022. And then had a little bit of a run-in with cancel culture, and so had his offer from Florida rescinded. So he spent the last two seasons at Division II University of West Florida. So he's going to be out there starting for Memphis, having won the job over Air Noland, a cast-off from that crowded Ohio State quarterback room of a few years ago. And at UNLV, there's a quarterback battle going on between former Oklahoma and former Auburn quarterback Jackson Arnold, and former Michigan quarterback Alex Orji. So, again, you get down into these group of six games, and there's all kind of familiar names from previous quarterback rooms in prior years at a higher level of conference play.
You know, we talked about the quarterback carousel, and I think we talked about it in a negative sense. However, if there's a redeeming quality to it, it's these names reappearing, Chris, that we're familiar with a few years ago. And by the way, Aaron Nolan has one of the great quarterback names in the history of the game.
And can I just say, doesn't it, Jim, emphasize how hit or miss quarterback evaluation is at the high school level? Now, I am not somebody who dismisses star rankings or what the recruiting services do. But, man, you hear all of these names of kids who were projected to be can't miss prospects, high level of FBS, and the number of them who flame out really should give you a little bit of pause about how seriously we take this stuff.
You make a great point, and I'm going to tell a little quarterback story when we come back, Chris, after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. I'm Jim. He's Chris. Chris, we're hitting the home stretch. You're surviving the first show. What do you think? Can you handle this on a weekly basis?
I am going to try to break from what has become a pattern at Penn State in previous years and not fade down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Very good. I like that. I like the stamina. We were talking about the quarterback carousel has kind of been a theme all show. And you gave us a briefing on this Memphis UNLV game and quarterbacks with familiar names all over the place. And you mentioned how we take the star rating very seriously, and it's not to say it's worthless, but a few years back, Chris, before the portal became crazy, okay, this had to be like 6 years ago maybe, and I went back and looked at the history of five-star quarterbacks, and over a span of 6, 7, 8 years, something like that, there were 15 five-star quarterbacks, okay? These are the can't-miss guys. There were only 15 of them over this span. 15 of them. And this was before the portal of craziness. It was a majority. It may be a small majority, but it was like 8 or 9 of them had transferred. And this was back when you transferred because you failed, okay? You didn't transfer because you succeeded and were going for a bigger payday. And some of the names that you look at, it's like, he was a five-star? It really does get you to pause a little bit when we get all worked up about recruiting and stargazing for it. So, and we hit that even this past recruiting year for Penn State, or I should say the current recruiting year, where the four-star quarterback, Peter Bork, went to Virginia Tech, and Penn State ended up with the three-star quarterback. With this kind of background and the work that the Iowa State staff has done with, well, people like Brock Purdy and Rocco Beck, who were not highly regarded coming out of high school, it makes me pause a little bit and wonder, how is that Penn State three-star going to be considered versus that four-star they didn't get?
There are so many complicating factors in this, as we've kind of laid out throughout the hour here, Jim. Programs are basically forced to load up on quarterback recruitment year to year because probably 2 out of every 3 potential starting QBs you recruit to your program are going to end up playing elsewhere. I like Will Wood a lot. I love James Armstrong. And I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing from Alex Mansky. So you think about Peter Bork at Virginia Tech, you think about Will Wood at Penn State, both guys battled for by those two programs. I can very, very easily envision a scenario looking at how the quarterback rooms project out for both teams going forward that neither one of them plays a meaningful snap in their career for the team they committed to in this recruiting class.
Well, in fact, I'll go a step further. You mentioned the 3 quarterbacks at Penn State. Odds are 2 out of the 3 will transfer. At Virginia Tech, you mentioned Peter Bork. But remember, Ethan Gronkmeyer has multiple years of eligibility. Troy Hunt is also there, incoming freshman. They had another freshman quarterback who stuck around, a redshirt freshman. They've got so many young quarterbacks. You could say the same. The majority of their quarterbacks on the roster this year will transfer. You just know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't really understand what James is doing with the room down there. And all over the country, you see these, like, you heard all this talk about quarterback depth at Ohio State. Well, it's all a mirage because guys who come in with that pedigree are not going to sit around on the bench if they lose a starting battle. So then they just move on. And again, as a program, going back to don't hate the player, hate the game, you just got to continually fill the pipeline if you want to have anything approaching depth, because you understand you're going to lose guys and then you got to fill gaps in through the transfer portal. So once again, going back to the point you made earlier, what an incredible luxury it is for Matt Campbell and Taylor Mauser to have Rocco Becht this year and then Alex Mansky waiting in the wings to bridge into what they're going to build at Penn State. I don't know that the majority of the fan base is really tuned into how fortunate we are to have that situation here.
And you already know, well, Rocco Becht obviously is a one and done here, but both of those quarterbacks played under this coaching staff and chose to follow them. Okay. So there's that loyalty too. I want to shift gears on you real quick with the time we have left, Chris, and talk some Penn State football.
Sure.
Again, we are a week away from the season starting. It's a unique thing at Penn State to have this much changeover. Hopefully, you know, in the following years, it won't work this way. A lot of new players to see. My question is this, especially three out of conference games. Hopeful that that's a 3-0 start for Penn State. But my question to you is, how do you watch these out-of-conference games now? Let's start with Marshall, a team you expect to win. You expect to beat Buffalo, allegedly on the road with Temple. But you expect to win all three of these games. But it's a new regime, new head coach, new coordinators. What are you looking for watching these games?
Well, I'll give you three things. Let me first start with one probably most unique to the Marshall game, and that is Penn State matching up against a dual-threat quarterback who is a legit threat to beat you both on the ground and through the air in an offense that schematically is derived from the Rich Rodriguez, West Virginia kind of spread passing offense. There is, I think, some question about what the linebacker room is going to look like and how the nickel position, as well as Marcus Neal at safety, how all of those different pieces are going to fit together to come up in run support and keep and contain of a quarterback who can move around, because we all have recurring nightmares of Nico Iamaliava at UCLA last year. So, number one, I am really curious to see how Penn State defends Marshall's offense, which will be, I think, potentially by leaps and bounds, the most potent offense and the most dynamic offense they face in their non-conference schedule. But then on the offensive side of the ball, I'm looking at things that maybe are less opponent-specific, and that's just, number one, execution in the run game. We're putting together all these pieces. A lot of holdovers from Penn State on the offensive line, a lot of transfers from Iowa State at the skill positions. Is that going to click right away, or is it going to take a little time for these guys who are operating, for some of them in a new offense, for others in a system that's familiar, but with teammates who are relatively new? Is that going to be like a well-oiled machine against inferior defensive competition right out of the gate, or is it going to take a couple of weeks for it to come together? The analogy I drew is to the 2005 season, where you look at the non-conference games from that year, which turned out very, very well for Penn State. They won a Big Ten title. They played UCF in the home opener, USF, excuse me, and it wasn't pretty. And it took some time for that offense, which had Michael Robinson in his first year as a starter, a bunch of freshmen at the wide receiver positions, to gel together. And I'm actually expecting some growing pains, just from an execution standpoint on offense. And then again, Jim, can we just get the ball to our wide receivers? Because last season, we know that that wholesale overhaul of the receiver room through the transfer portal did not work out. In fact, shout out to my obligatory co-host, Kevin Horn. Watch our debut episode live now on the Tengwell Film Network on YouTube. Kevin had this mind-blowing stat he looked up. Del Rio Wilson, the quarterback from Marshall, previously at Syracuse, had more completions to Trevor Peña as a backup for the Orange than Drew Aller did as a starter through five games at Penn State. So just a complete mushroom cloud, visible from space, explosive disaster at the receiver position the last few years for Penn State. And we were struggling to beat the likes convincingly of Nevada and FIU. So can this expected starting trio of wide receivers and Chase Sowell and Brett Eskelson from Iowa State and Kobe Howard retained from last season, can these guys create separation and make catches in the passing game against defenses who really have no business lining up on the same field against Penn State? Those are the three things I look for. Defending Marshall's offense, execution on offense, completions to wide receivers.
You make some great points, especially on the defensive side. It's going to be interesting how they, you know, this 4-2-5, and they have, and they've been talking about players that could, I don't know, would they call it multiplicity, or, you know, guys who could play, do different things.
And there are a number of those guys on this defense, which is exciting.
Yes, there are. Even to the point we're now seeing Bacon moving from linebacker to defensive end.
Yes.
Which will be interesting to see. So that will be my interest on defense, how they move those pieces around. Likewise, on the offensive side, I've spent the entire offseason professing my love for the tight ends, okay? And also the running back room. And both positions go like three or four deep, and they have talked about, Taylor Mauser talked to you, Chris. He talked about using those tools and those weapons. My question is, how are they going to do that? But then how do I interpret it? If we keep seeing multiple running backs, three tight ends on the field, is it more a statement about your wide receivers, okay, that you don't have three wide receivers or four wide receivers that you trust to put on the field? The other thing I'm going to look for, you mentioned at a conference last year where they may have won by 30-some points, but they didn't look particularly impressive. And I still say it's that team's inability to be consistent. They would find ways to make mistakes on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 2 to keep a drive going. A pass would be dropped or thrown behind a receiver. I want to see, have they raised that floor when they play against an inferior team, and we're not going to see those mistakes. All right, Chris, that's going to have to be the final word. We're up against the clock here. You, sir, not only survived your first day, you thrived for it. We are going to come back next week, do it again, and we're going to have an Ask Chris segment. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you do come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.